Greetings. Thank you all for returning. We extend a warm welcome to all our new listeners here for the first time. I am Pastor John, welcoming our global audience of unchurched, self-study people, as well as those who are part of a church. For anyone looking for greater depths in God's Word, thank you all for listening. May you all be blessed of God. Last week we learned, when one sins, they also fall. When a person falls, they fall from a state of obedience and happiness. They fall into a state of sin and condemnation. Only forgiveness of sin can raise one back to a place of obedience and happiness. The free gift is favor, benefit, or good bestowed on us gratuitously. This refers to the favor bestowed on us through the gospel by Christ. The gift of favor is free. It is without merit on our part. It is bestowed on the undeserving, meaning the gift of salvation in Christ is. To find out more, listen to our previous episode titled The Amplification of Justification, Part 2, posted on March 17th. This week, our study is titled The Amplification of Justification, Part 3. Our scripture reads, "Consequently, just as condemnation for all people came through one transgression, so too, through the one righteous act, came righteousness leading to life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man many will be made righteous. Now, the law came in so that the transgression may increase. But where sin increased, grace multiplied all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." From Romans chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. When something already said is repeated in our Bible, it is so it can be understood by the highest number of people. This was true when the words we read were spoken. Someone will say something and then rephrase what they said first when they say it again. Therefore, for clarity, verse 18 reads, "Consequently, just as condemnation for all people came through one transgression, so too, through the one righteous act, came righteousness leading to life for all people." Just what is meant when our Bible tells us leading to life for all people? Is it all people regardless of what a person believes, whether saved or unsaved? Let us see what our Bibles are telling us. The blessings provided by Christ are sufficient for all. They are offered to all to whom they are revealed. They should be accepted by all, and all who do accept them as offered in the gospel will be pardoned, justified, and saved. From Family Bible Notes from the Nazarene Users Group. Clearly, life over death is available to all people regardless of who they are and where they live. However, note, the blessings provided by Christ should be accepted by all. Yet, no matter where you live, you can look around and see The blessings given by Christ are not accepted by all. If the many blessings of Christ were received by all, the world would be a very much different place. Note further, here we have the result of the single deed of Adam and the result of the single deed of Christ. The result of Adam's single deed extends to all people, and that means condemnation for everyone. This refers to the one who belongs to Adam, the one who is unconverted, who will be judged. Likewise, the result of Christ's deed extends to all people. Everyone can partake of the new life to which the judgment cannot reach. From King Comment's Commentary on the Whole Bible. Notice how the first commentary statement sums up this part of this verse. Here we have the result of the single deed of Adam and the result of the single deed of Christ. Further, noting of Adam, the result of Adam's single deed extends to all people, and that means condemnation for everyone. This refers to the one who belongs to Adam, the one who is unconverted, who will be judged. Notice, Adam's deed extends to all people, everyone. And I'm repeating this to make it very, very clear. Notice further that the result of Christ's deed extends to who? To all people. Everyone can partake of the new life in which the judgment cannot reach. Since this is a matter of personal choice, many choose not to follow Christ. Following sinful deeds gives a person a false sense of pleasure. Therefore, we can be sure that many people do not partake of the new life that is freely offered to all people. Remember, the one who is unconverted, unsaved by Christ, will be judged. However, if one is truly saved of Christ into eternal life, judgment cannot reach such a soul. Verse 19 reads, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous." In this verse, you will find the last comparison, who now belongs to Adam and who to Christ. All sinners belong to Adam because he was disobedient. All righteous ones belong to Christ because he was obedient. From King Comment's Commentary on the Whole Bible. King Comment's made a very clear comment on verse 19. It clearly states what verse 19 is telling us. This gives us a result for disobedience and obedience. All human beings are born from Adam, despite his death. We are descendants of a sinful father. Yet, we can choose to have this sinful state removed from us and assure a new body when the time soon comes. We today seem disconnected from this discussion because, simply, that was then. And this is now. How could Adam's sin possibly affect modern mankind? Here is a good explanation to give us a solid understanding of what this verse is telling us. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. This and similar expressions in the preceding verses bring up the subject of the connection between the sin of Adam and the moral ruin of his posterity, a subject in regard to which different branches of the Christian church still entertain very different opinions. One class contends that the whole human race is considered by Jehovah as involved in the guilt which was incurred by their common ancestor, who is to be considered as their head and representative, that it becomes all men to cherish feelings of abasement and sorrow in view of their first parents' sin, taking to themselves, as his children, a share of the guilt of it, and that all individuals enter the world with this burden, in fact, resting upon them, and with a sinful constitution of character inherited through the stock from which they spring. To others, this view of the subject seems entirely inadmissible. They cannot allow that the sin of one generation can bring any burden of accountability for it upon another, or that there can be any relation of cause and effect between the sinful characters of men at the present day and that of Adam, choosing rather than admit such a supposition, to have the invariable and universal corruption of human nature entirely unexplained. This controversy will probably not soon be settled. Elements appear to be necessarily involved in the discussion which transcend the human faculties. At any rate, we must admit that, thus far, that mysterious and hidden state, which, seemingly like a hereditary taint, descends from generation to generation, leading in all ages and under every of the human condition to substantially the same moral results, has eluded and baffled all the attempts which have been made to fix and define it. From John S.C. Abbott and Jacob Abbott, Illustrated New Testament, 1878. Quote, "to fix and define it," end quote, is where controversy still lies among men and women. It is where many a discussion and even more arguments spring from. The two main arguments are discussed here by John S.C. Abbott and Jacob Abbott. Notice the two distinct observations of how people think. One class contends that the whole human race is considered by Jehovah as involved in the guilt which was incurred by their common ancestor, who is to be considered as their head and representative, that it becomes all men to cherish feelings of abasement and sorrow in their view of their first parents' sin, taking to themselves, as his children, a share of the guilt of it, and that all individuals enter the world with this burden, in fact, resting upon them, and with a sinful constitution of character inherited through the stock from which they spring. 2. To others, the view of the subject seems entirely inadmissible. They cannot allow that the sin of one generation can bring any burden of accountability for it upon another, or that there can be any relation of cause and effect between the sinful characters of men in the present day and that of Adam. Choosing, rather than admit such a supposition, to leave the invariable and universal corruption of human nature entirely unexplained. These human arguments depict the arguments used even today that can be very strong in either case. However, regardless of what you believe, this is not a source of sinful argument. Discussion is always appropriate. However, heated discussion leading into sinful argument is not acceptable. Further, by Adam's disobedience, all disobeyed and were counted sinners. By Jesus' obedience, all are counted obedient and hence righteous. That is, all inherited penalty for Adam's sin is blotted out for the whole race. From the People's New Testament. Verse 20 reads, "Now the law came in so that the transgression may increase, but where sin increased, grace multiplied all the more." Something about that verse just does not sound right. It would seem we are being told that the law came in so that transgression, sin, may increase. What is up with that? This is why we need to always slow down in cases like this when we read about anything that may cause us to believe something that may well not be true. Our understanding only seems true because we are quick to conclude something about what we read in our Bibles. So, let us dig deeper. The law entered that sin might abound. That is, before the law was written, we became obnoxious to death by one man's disobedience, without much sense of it. But after the law was given by Moses, sin did more clearly and conspicuously appear to be sin. Its odiousness and ugliness was more manifest to the conscience of the sinner. As the sinner has abounded in sin in a way of commission, so sin does by the discovery of the law abound in the sinner's apprehension, in the sight and sense of it upon the conscience of the sinner. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. We have in Scripture, "Now the law came in so that the transgression may increase," comma. In commentary, "The law entered that sin might abound." Clearly, one can go down a completely unintended path of conclusion that was not intended. Notice, before the law was written, we became obnoxious to death by one man's disobedience, without much sense of it. But after the law was given by Moses, sin did more clearly and conspicuously appear to be sin. It should be noted that the original law was over 900 laws. It was later simplified to 10 written laws known as the Ten Commandments. 10 simple laws that no man or woman can follow, even today. What is meant and intended is this: the reference is not only to the law of Moses, but to all divine law, the law written in the hearts of the Gentiles. The effect of its entrance was that offenses abounded. Law was continually broken. The reference here is not to Adam's sin, but to the personal sins of each man. From the People's New Testament. This commentary sentence should be noted. The reference here is not to Adam's sin, but to the personal sins of each man. This alone should clarify the two-state issue previously noted by John S.C. Abbott and Jacob Abbott. It should be quite clear at this point that all mankind has sinned and needs to repent of it to Jesus Christ, who paid our penalty 100%. Notice further, the effect of its entrance was that offenses abounded. Why was this so? Law was continually broken. So we should fully note, the reference here is not to Adam's sin, but to the personal sins of each man. It should be noted that this is not specifically about only men. This usage of, quote, man, end quote, is meant mankind, men and women. Since we are all related to Adam as our fleshly father, because he sinned, we are born sinners, yet with one provision. Until we reach the age of accountability, we will be taken blamelessly to heaven. However, once we reach the age of accountability, we are responsible for our unforgiven guilt and stain of sin. For the grace of God abounds, specifically, quote, the grace of the gospel offers a free pardon to all who have broken law if they will come to God through Christ, end quote. From the People's New Testament. The People's New Testament said it very clearly and plainly. There is no confusion. Note further that the offense might abound. This was the effect of the law, to make sin more evident and in some cases more aggravated, where sin abounded. That is, under the Mosaic law, the apostle seems here to admit that, after all, the redemption of Christ was specifically offered to the Jews and was to be particularly efficacious for their salvation. From John S.C. Abbott and Jacob Abbott, Illustrated New Testament, 1878. Notice specifically that the redemption of Christ was specifically offered to the Jews and was to be particularly efficacious for their salvation. Quote, unquote. Yet, even to this day, many Jewish people turn this offer of Christ away. It is not to make a Jewish person something else. It is a form of completion. A Jewish person saved in Christ is often referred to as a completed Jew. We know, however, how this worked out and how it continues to work out to this day. Many Jewish people of the biblical day refused Jesus, and this offer was then passed on to the Gentiles, meaning anyone who was not Jewish, regardless of where they live. Now, the first half of the sentence started in verse 20, Our final verse, 21, reads, in continuance, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For you, it is no longer true that sin reigns through death. Grace reigns for you. Notice that grace reigns through the righteousness, and not because one is living as if sin no longer exists. Grace has been shown to you because God's righteousness is satisfied in Christ's work on the cross. The result of this is that you have received eternal life. And later, no one knows how soon that will be, you will enjoy this life in all its fullness in God's glory, all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. From King Comment's Commentary on the Whole Bible. A cross-reference Bible verse tells us, so he is able to save completely those who came to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. From Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Family Bible Notes from the Nazarene Users Group tells us, through righteousness, the righteousness which God gives through faith in Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, rose for our justification, and ever lives to make intercession for us. Next week, our episode is titled, The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 1. We will seek the answer to this question. Are we to remain in sin so that grace may increase? To find out more, join us next week. And if you think we've already answered that question, you might be surprised. Play or download our episodes from one of our podcast hosts, or follow direct links to these platforms on our website under the podcast menu item. Details follow. All Bible quotes without a citation are from the New English Translation Free Version. We greatly appreciate our audience. We look forward to the return of all our faithful listeners, followers, and new listeners. Thank you all so much. We are very pleased to serve a diverse international audience. Please share our podcast with family, friends, and others you believe would find it a blessing. This study podcast is a wholly self-funded outreach presented by the Church of the Unchurched, an all-electronic, Boston-based outreach uniting the community of lost, searching, lonely, and forgotten in Christ. If you are visiting for the first time, welcome and God bless you. If you are unsaved, we truly hope you find God as well as receiving Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Please find a short link to our episode titled How to Be Saved at the bottom of any episode description. To learn more about us and who we are, give our episode titled Introduction, About Us, Who We Are, a listen. In that episode, you will learn more about us, who we are reaching out to, our mission, vision, ministry, and more. Again, a short link to this episode is found at the bottom of any episode description. Find our website at https://thechurchoftheunchurched.org. Please type The Church of the Unchurched as a single word with no hyphens or spaces in unchurched. Also, Because we are on a very secure European server, be sure you type the lead https://, as it is required. Be sure you include it in any bookmark you make. This will prevent security load errors. Our site is mobile, tablet, and desktop compliant. Our site also has links to many of our podcast platforms under the podcast menu item. We are found on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify, to name a few. We refresh all our feeds with every weekly episode upload on Sundays, East Coast time, USA. These sites update our feed within 24 hours of our refresh. Our RSS feed is syndicated on many popular podcast RSS feed platforms. Find us on a preferred platform to follow us as we continue to grow. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Until next week, this is Pastor John for the Church of the Unchurched.